Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
No games to review, but two legends make it into the Faller on a Bougie Hall of Fame. It's the Raw Milk Podcast. Let's have it! We are live. Gibby, how are you going?
Yeah, steady away, pal. Steady away. Yourself?
Yeah, steady away, mate. It is the 30th of January. This is our sixth episode. We are currently 55 minutes away from Stanley kicking off against Plymouth Argyle. We previewed that game in the last episode, which you will have heard by the time you listen to this. But basically what I'm trying to say is we're not talking about any games today. So we're just going to do a nice little short episode. Classic players, Hall of Fame players, two more decent games that we remember with a bit of a theme, and just have a nice little chat about Stanley. Gibby, I saw that you went on a ridiculously long walk last night. What was that about?
Yeah, sorry. Did you say walk? I thought you did.
W-A-L-K.
Ah, yeah. Who said that? I'm going blind. Hairy palms. No, yeah, I went to Rochdale last night for a cheeky wander.
It doesn't take us that much to get a wanking joke in, does it?
It doesn't. It's, I don't have a...
Yeah.
Anyway, but you're right, sorry. But yeah, I thought I'd do some missionary work in the provinces. You know, bring the word of reading and writing to the Yorkshire Manx hybrids over there, and... you know, spread the gospel of Stanley.
I'm just picturing you stood on a hill, Stanley shirt, Aki Observer in hand.
That's
just,
it.
Just reading out match reports.
Stone tablets.
No, yeah, Rochdale is a grim place. But fair enough. How long does it take you to do that?
About just under 5 hours, 4 hours 45.
I do like a walk. I might try that myself. I never did it when Stanley walked there for charity, ever.
Well, neither did Martin Platt. There's the irony. Got his face on the telly, didn't do the walk, did he?
Is that what happened? Did he not actually do it?
Yeah, just turned up halfway through, a few pictures, fucked off.
Gobshite. He's been living off that since.
Don't buy his cheese. If you see him at Christmas markets, don't buy his cheese.
He's been dining out on that since. Yes. I met him, I used to work in a Moon Under the Water on Deansgate, with the Wetherspoons, and he came in around Christmas time with just a shitload of cheese in a bag. And he was, yeah, he's got a cheese market.
Is everything all right, Martin? Is everything all right, lad?
Yeah, listen, do you want to talk about it? Because you're picking place up. But yeah, he was a sound guy, actually. And he drank Doom Bar. I remember that. I don't remember what everyone drank in that pub, but I do remember what Martin Platt drank.
Biggest pub in the UK, isn't it? By floor space.
Allegedly, there's a possibility it could be Europe, they say. But I don't believe that.
Brexit means Brexit.
Yeah, it's definitely not the biggest in the EU now.
There you go.
But yeah, there was talk of that. But it was a decent enough place. I'm saying that. It was horrendous. I worked there for like 3 months, including the run-up to Christmas. And I've never seen footfall like it.
Yeah.
One day they took 210 grand.
The bar equivalent of national service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a baptism of fire. But at least I can say I've worked in the biggest pub in Europe, in Britain.
210 grand in one day.
Yeah, including food as well. Obscene. But it's obscene. Three bars, isn't there?
Yeah.
Including that upstairs bit. Just L for leather. So, I used to do like a 6-hour shift and you just wouldn't stop.
Almost as much as Voodoo on a Mad Friday, that. In terms of takings.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Definitely up there. Crown on a normal Saturday.
That's it.
If you're listening, Will, that was a joke about your prices, but we're only joking, mate. I had a pizza from Crown last night. It was very good. Delivered straight to my door by the landlord himself.
I can just see a hand reaching into the webcam there and handing you a brown paper envelope.
Yeah, he has paid me to say that. I got extra jalapenos on my pizza.
Living the dream.
Right, let's crack on then. So let's get into our first entry into the Fallout on a Bougie Hall of Fame.
So this is these clubs, right? Preston North End, Huddersfield Town, Barnsley, Peterborough, Cambridge United, Swindon Town, Brentford, Wickham Wanderers, Shrewsbury Town, St Albans City, Macclesfield Town, Accrington Stanley, Weymouth Walking, Grays Athletic, Southport, Boreham Wood, Tooting and Mitcham United and Cheshunt.
The Honour Be On Your Hall of Fame. The Honour Be On Your Hall of Fame.
Your mock Fall Honour Bougie, but he's the greatest striker over 6 foot, with a surname being with O, that's ever played for us in the Football League. 6'5", stealing a living.
Do you know what? I've decided. We are going to call it after him then. What? How do you say his first name?
Fallon.
I always thought it was Fallon. The Honour Be On Your Hall of Fame.
You're listening, Fallon, top lad.
The Honour Be On Your Hall of Fame. I'll let you do the honours as always, Mr. Gibson.
Okie dokie. Got
today.
Okie dokie. You've gone with a player who, I think the term burned quickly, burned brightly applies. There's not many players who only turn out for one season and are still sort of revered nearly 20 years later. But that's the case for this chap. I'm going to go for Mike Marsh, Sir Michael of Marsh. And it's important to remember, I mean, just how big an impact he had. I mean, you were talking about a player who'd played for West Ham, Galatasaray, Liverpool, rocking up in the Unibond League against Frickley and Marine. But his attitude was absolutely bang on. There's a famous interview where he says, you know, it doesn't matter who you play for, Galatasaray, Liverpool, the dog and duck, or Accrington Stanley, you know, winning the league you play in, it's always a massive achievement. And he helped Procky so much as well. Like, you got a young teenage Procky who learnt so much from him. And all the players who played at that time, you know, so a bit of a discussion the other day between Dean Calcutt and Lutel James on social media. And then somebody else who played for another Unibond club chimed in and said, I had to man mark Mike Marsh that day. And then Lutel and Dino were just like, yeah, good luck with that.
Wow.
With all the sort of laughing emojis and so on. But just that, you know, he could see things that other players couldn't see, you know. And I think having a character like that, who they could learn from and also sort of look up to, he was the missing piece, really, in our promotion jigsaw. And like you say, you know, if you ask a lot of Stanley fans for their all-time 11, he's still in there, and that's, you know, that's testament to him when we now play three divisions higher, that people would still pick him over, you know, lots of other players that have been and gone. Absolute wand on the ball, spray passes left and right. Just one of those players who, towards the end of his career, he didn't need to run. He could just stand in that centre circle, get the ball, look up, spray passes left, right and centre. Just classy, oozed class. And like I say, you know, a very big part of our history, because that promotion, obviously the second of the four, comes on a bit of a roll then. Unfortunately, like you say, he didn't stop on for the conference season.
I think that would have been interesting.
Yeah, well, the thing is with Mike Marsh, he obviously used to play in the Football League, and he took a payout. He had an injury, and he took a payout. That meant he couldn't play in the Football League. So he won the conference, I think, with Kidderminster. and had to leave them because he couldn't play in the league with them. And for us, I just don't think it, at that time in his career he fancied national football again. You know, it's one thing going to Marine, it's another thing going to Dover on a Tuesday. But a great player, great servant. Must be at least, you know, must be the greatest, if not one of the greatest players in the non-league era. And like I say, he's still mentioning those breaths now. So it's Sir Michael of Marsh for me.
Excellent, takes his place up there in our esteemed Hall of Fame.
I do also remember, I was sort of 11, 12 years old at the time, and we used to go to the soccer schools.
Oh yeah.
Our stand used to run on the playing fields where Aki Amitches is.
I don't think we've ever mentioned them, but...
Yeah.
They were top weeks, weren't they, in the summer holidays?
Yeah, superb. Absolutely
they were
class.
Absolutely class. All the players used to do them, didn't they?
I can remember Corley, he had a speed gun and used to take penalties and he'd tell you how fast you kicked the ball.
Yeah, I remember that. Do you remember the penalty shootouts at the end of the week as well?
Fantastic.
On the pitch. And all the kids would be in the main stand. Corley would be on the mic. And he'd be like commentating, singing, how wide do you want the nets?
But
and
it
stuff
was
like that.
It was that summer, the summer before the Unibond winning season. So I went to the soccer school. And the bloke doing the coaching, you know, he said, like, Stanley going to sign this player. He's played for, like, Galatasaray. He's played for West Ham, Liverpool. And I don't know what the 12-year-old version of fuck off is, but that's what I would have said at the time. We were buzzing. Everyone was buzzing all summer about this signing. I couldn't wait to see him play.
Yeah.
And like you say, the prophecy came to tell. And, you know, it'd still now be welcoming sort of Accrington hostelries.
Absolutely, yeah. What a career as well. And he's still very much a well-looked-at coach now, isn't he, as well?
Absolutely.
I think he's at Swansea, is it? Last time I checked, I think.
He was sticking him out there, yeah. European football.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I remember much about him playing. I do remember the buzz about him. Obviously, my dad's a massive Liverpool fan as well. So I remember he were really, really excited when he signed. I do remember once I was in the clubhouse after one of the games, and I was playing with this, like, you know, you're just a kid, you're just playing about with your kid, everyone used to mess about, running around the main stand and stuff, and I remember I met this lad, and I said, what are you doing here from Liverpool? And he said, oh, my dad plays for Stanley, and me and my cousin, I remember just being like, fuck off. Again, I don't know what the 8-year-old... probably would be, fuck off if your parents weren't around. But me and my cousin were just like, yeah, all right. And he was just like, yeah, my dad's Mike Marsh. I don't know. It must have been. He's got no reason to lie. But then, I don't know if I've... maybe. I've
I mean, and the other sort of, the iconic quote that always gets mooted with Mike Marsh is when he walked in and said, get your ground sorted, you're going up. You know, that kind of...
That is class, isn't it?
It is. That kind of confidence that must give to a team of sort of journeymen.
Yeah.
And non-league, you know, honest non-league pros must have been fantastic for them.
Just to have, like you say, to have someone like that for a young Procky, just to be in training with him, to watch his touch, to just watch how he reads the game. I'd like to speak to Procky about...
Yeah, and
what he thought maybe that had, what impact that had.
I mean, if you ask any of the players from that time, they all speak ridiculously highly of him. Corley and Jimmy speak ridiculously highly of him now. Like, it's very easy for somebody like that to just come and think, I'll just have a bit of a doss.
Yeah.
One season doss.
They just
it's not a payday because it was never a payday at Stanley, but just like a kickabout wind down for them, really.
Yeah, still stretch your legs a bit, wind back the ears.
Yeah. But like you say, he was a class act. He certainly, even then, could have easily played in the league, if not for that payout. Superb.
Yeah. So is that something that used to happen a lot then with players?
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember...
Was it who used to pay them out then? Would it be the football, the FA?
They'd probably just have some kind of insurance policy, I'd imagine.
Yeah. That's interesting. I've never even heard of that before.
Yeah, because it's your livelihood, isn't it? So it's like... You see all these stupid stories, like, you know, people who work for Silent Night getting like the backside insured and stuff like that, or supermodels getting like the tits insured and stuff like that. It's the same principle. It's your livelihood, isn't it? So I don't remember Tony Roberts, the old Dagenham keeper, Clayton and favourite. It was the same with him. So he took a massive payout and couldn't play in the Football League. And then when Dagenham won the conference, he had to give it back.
He had to pay it back.
Yeah.
What a legend he was. Talk about him another time. But yes, so Michael Marsh takes his place. Like you say, somebody to be remembered fondly, even if he did just have the one season with us, to make such an impact is massive. And he rightfully belongs in that well-known Onabuzie Hall of Fame. Okay, then we'll move on to my pick for this week, who is someone that, of course, needs absolutely no introduction. Someone that, if we're honest, should have been straight away in the pretty much on the first podcast. Somebody who is synonymous with Accrington Stanley and everybody who supports Accrington Stanley.
Raving Pete.
How did you know? Have you seen? it is, of course, Paul Mullen. Gibby, do you remember Paul Mullen? Not the one that used to play for.
You've gone for the one that used to play for Swindon. You've gone for quite an obscure one there. No, joking. Obviously, everyone remembers Paul Mullen. Paul Mullen, for many, many years, was Mr. Accrington Stanley.
Absolutely, yeah. Known for it. I mean, what more can you say about him, really? Mr. Accrington Stanley, certainly for a very, very long time period. He was quality not only in lower leagues, in the non-league, but did it in the Football League for us as well. And probably without his goals for those early years in the Football League, we'd have been up shit creek without a paddle, maybe. 190 goals in 426 games. Just
It's not a bad knock, is it?
It's not so bad, that, no. If you go onto his Wikipedia page, which I know a lot of people do, it says 320 goals in 132 appearances, but that only includes his Conference and League Two goals, so they're not taking into account his Unibond goals. So if before anybody tweets me and says I've got that wrong, I've got that from Paul himself when I interviewed him for the first fanzine, so don't at me on that.
Yeah, and the thing about Paul Mullen is he always rose to the new level. So we got into the Conference.
Doubted as well. Another player who's doubted every time he met that step up.
Exactly. Got into the Conference to Karnakit.
Yeah.
Bang, 25 goals, 30 goals. Same in League Two. Also gets a place in history. The first Football League Cup goal in 44 years in the town. Nottingham Forest winner. You know, and people forget that game. When you talk about classic games, we might do that at some point in the future, because to have a two-time European Cup winners roll into town was huge.
Was it like the first week that we've been in the Football
League
as well?
Yeah. And to win 1-0, Paul Mullen. There used to be some classic, it's gone now, on YouTube. There used to be like an American, like Fox or ESPN commentary of it.
Superb. Yeah.
Paul Mullen with a great shot in the goal bag. Ian Dunbaven, he was huge the entire game. Another great save.
Oh, he was quality that game, wasn't he?
He was, Dunbaven. Yeah, a great game, yeah. We had that banner, didn't we? It said something like Malmo 78, Stockholm 79, Aki 06. Like mocking them.
That was a great night. I still remember that quite clearly, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I remember it's a theme we've come back to many a time, but I remember the apathy. I remember thinking, we've got a two-time European Cup winning team here, Brian Clough's Nottingham Forest, and there's 2,500 on.
Yeah.
And 1,000 from Forest.
That's around that time where it's that switch in it where it went from, I'm not paying for a Football League side now.
Well, yeah, exactly. You lose a lot of the Blackburn and Burnley walk-ons, don't you? Rightfully so. And,
that was a good one. I mean, so he joined us in summer 2000. We went in for him the year before, but for one reason or another, it didn't quite pay off. I remember when I spoke to him, he said that he was unsure about making the jump, really. He was unsure about whether he'd be good enough being in that side and being the focal point of the team. I'm betting glad he did make the jump now.
Fantastic. I think we paid 15 grand for him, which it's a bargain of the century
grand.
Now
I think Eric got his money's worth that day, didn't he?
And again, a little small piece of sort of, he's intertwined. It was intertwined with Accrington Football before that, because the Unibond Division 1 winning season, people often talk of Radcliffe away, had to win 2-0 down with 10 to go, win 3-2. He was in the Radcliffe team that day, So, and you forget as well, we were, like you said, then he was unsure if he could handle it. People forget this now, that we were a big fish in non-league.
Yeah, we were an ambitious non-league team, weren't we?
In that Unibond Premier League, there were us, Stalybridge, Altrincham and Barrow. Those were your four big hitters, really. We were one of the only clubs who could get 500, 600, 700 on.
Yeah.
When everyone else was getting sort of 200, 300 on. So we were a big team. Or we go away, we go to Colwyn Bay and there'd be 300 on. And 100 would be from Aki. You know what I mean?
God, that's incredible, isn't it?
We were a big fish, really.
Yeah, I mean, he's local as well, isn't he? Burnley born. He resides in Great Arwood now. He's a financial advisor. I only know that actually because when I went to uni, I know we're going off on a tangent again, not talking about his career. We will go back to it. But when I went to uni, I was playing five-a-side with my mate from, well, he's from Burnley that I knew, and we just got this ringer in one Sunday morning. We used to play seven at six aside on a Sunday morning, and we got this ringer in. He's like, "Oh, my mate's coming. It's Alex Mullen. Alex Mullen's coming." So we're like, "All right, where's he from?" And he's like, "Oh, he's from Burnley. He's a Burnley fan." And then he rocked up, and he was like head and shoulders above us in quality, like just a absolutely class player, best player in our team. And then afterwards, my mate were like, just ask him who his dad is. And it turned out it were Paul's son, who'd come to play with us. So I were hyperventilating at the just asking him a shitload of questions. I know him quite well now. We, funnily enough, we swapped stories about a certain daft character on social media who puts himself about, because obviously Mullers has got loads of stories about him being around at that time, and obviously I can just see it with my own eyes, and my dad's got stories about him. So we talk on Facebook Messenger, and I'm not joking, every single message is about this daft gentleman. Screenshot after screenshot. A friend of yours, I imagine, as well.
I grew up near this certain daft gentleman, so I also like to reminisce.
I'm sure he'll make his way into the On a Bougie Hall of Fame one day as well.
Even if he doesn't, he'll pretend that he's in.
But yeah, so Mullers, like you say, an absolute quality player. We were just talking before we came on, weren't we? I think he scored about 2 goals outside of the box, mm-hmm. out of those 190. But a player who's just synonymous with just that gritty Stanley sort of leading the line, massive old fashioned centre forward. I don't know. I'm struggling to find words to describe what he means, because he is just so important to the club.
Paul Mullen, I mean, if you look, I mean, it was testament to the professionalism of him that he had such a long career, and that he didn't really, you know, he didn't turn full time until he was nearly 30. Mm. And he made that switch, and if you look at his record, he's very rarely injured.
Yeah,
very rarely out with sort of disciplinary issues, and it was only when he wasn't playing you would notice it. Like, he might not score for 5 games and you think, well, give him a rest now, change it over, but if he didn't play, you knew, because everything went through him. He was the focal point. He was the, you know, even if he wasn't scoring, he'd draw 3 defenders away from the player who did score.
Always a handful. Always would be the concentration of other teams. You stop Mullen, and then you start for a massive part of our attack.
A generous man as well, going on to do sort of, again, missionary work in Morecambe as well, mm-hmm, later mm-hmm. in his career.
I mean, do you remember his initial move to Bradford?
Yeah.
I remember we had, I can't think of his name, but he's... he's an ex-teacher, Stanley, big Stanley fan, goes home and away, but he's an older fella, he's retired now. But he was a support teacher, a cover teacher for me on that day, and we're all messing about.
Not Mr. Lund?
I think it is, yeah.
King?
Yes.
King
and Oxman, French teacher.
Lund. Yeah, King and Oxman. Yeah.
Absolutely him. From Chris's, weren't he?
Absolute hero, yeah.
Legend. He was covering our lesson, and we were all messing about a bit, and he said to me, "Have you heard the news about Paul Mullen?" And I was like, "No." And he said to me, "Well, do your work and I'll tell you." So I sat there and I finished my English work, and then he said, he's left. This was before, obviously, smartphones.
Absolute King, Mr. Lund. I was doing form time, and I brought an old Stanley programme into Reed from like 1991, and he was walking around, he saw it, and he was talking to me for about 20 minutes about, like, oh, Paul Beck, and this player did that, and this player did that, and I remember going to this FA Cup tie, and...
Really knowledgeable about Stanley. Yeah, and always got time for you when you see him in the pub and stuff as well.
Yeah, he always talks to you now and remembers your name and things like that.
Yeah, he's really good.
I remember once, he kept me behind after German, and I thought, I'm going to get a fucking bollock in here. And all it were, he said, when you saw me on the Fleetwood game, and you said, "Hello, Mr. Lund," he said, I was talking to a colleague of mine, and he said he just wanted to say how impressed he was with how polite you were, because a lot of people see teachers out of school and they're rude to him, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck off. Fuck off, Lundy! Hey!
Lundy! How you doing, mate?
Hey, Lundy! Hey! Je m'appelle, hey!
Je m'appelle Lund.
But yeah, top class act.
I remember when you say that, actually, stories about teachers. When we got beat in the Stevenage playoff game, do you remember when they sold the copies to our fans as well?
Yeah.
I was stood at the very, very corner near the dugout, near the changing rooms, and I was giving the Stevenage fans the V's, both hands like that, just full on giving it them after game. And Mr. Jones, who is now the head teacher at St. Christopher's, who was my history teacher, assistant head at the time,
poor man's court, so
was walking straight towards me. I innocently hadn't seen him, but it very much like I was giving him looked like he was giving him double V's to his face. He didn't mention it.
He never spoke to you again.
Yeah. But let's just say that after I didn't do that well in my AS levels, he didn't give a shit. He was all right, Jonesy, though, if you're listening. He won't be. He's a Preston fan. But yeah, there we go. Yeah, so spells at Bradford, which I remember going down like a lead balloon in the fan base. I remember a certain... we were all sat down in the Clayton End.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I mean, I mean financial a lot of idiots were giving him a stick. I had a lot of Judas and this, and he's left us in our hour of need and all this bollocks. We asked him to go.
Yeah.
To get him off the wage bill, because we were struggling financially.
And then I remember as well, in the interview, if anybody hasn't read it, you can get your issues, Raw Milk One, just give me a message. But he did say as well, he struggled with the Bradford move. He, at Aki, he'd found his place, like a lot of players do. He'd found where he felt comfortable playing football. And when he went to Bradford, if he was struggling, he was getting stick off the fans, and he didn't really want to be there. So yeah, I don't really understand why he'd get stick. He was going to help the club out, pardon me. But yeah, then he again went to Morecambe. I remember we clapped him off at Morecambe once. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
So he didn't get too much stick. You can't give him stick when he's got 190 goals for the club.
That's it. We had that banner, didn't we? Mullin, what did it say? Hero worshipped ASFC, just watched at MFC.
Yeah.
And when he came off, I remember he came off the bench once. We were playing Morecambe at home, and we were winning 1-0 or 2-1. We were just ahead, and he came off the bench, and this old band him, he went, "Don't you dare, Paul. Don't you fucking dare."
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
I remember him scoring in a 3-2 home win against Morecambe and celebrating in the goal. I just remember that being...
For us.
Being in the net itself. Yeah. But yeah, great memories with Paul. Again, at that time, when you're young, you're just getting into football, really. He is...
Yeah, and like you say, that's before we've even mentioned the walking goal.
You know, that's what I mean, that hasn't even been mentioned there. I put that picture on Twitter today and I said, has anyone got anything that they'd like to say? Harry Seeds, talking about that walking picture.
Yeah, it's iconic,
said,
isn't it?
I bought this photo signed by the legend himself in an auction for charity, still framed and will be forever cherished. Liam Smith, I remember him scoring after about 20 seconds away at Gravesend in the days without segregation. There was about 4 Stanley fans in a packed home terrace celebrating, and I'm sure it was outside the box and there wasn't many of them. Rob Russell, the thing I liked about Mullers was he was the one player we had who would have walked into any other team in the league, genuinely coveted by other clubs, and told them all to fuck off.
You can't say further than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, running out of superlatives, really. And then Alex Mullen himself, his son, has tweeted and put, Unibomb Prem era, attempted overhead kick that went over the bar and into the car park behind the coppice. So, yeah, there we go. Paul Mullen, not just take a seat, I think you can have a throne in the annals of the fall on a
budget. Well, you can have free entry and you can have up to £5 worth of stuff from the gift shop as well.
Yeah, listen, there's 5 tokens there. Get yourself a drink, mate.
That's it, you treat yourself. You want a Sprite, you get a Sprite, full fat. Don't anyone tell you you can't.
Listen, it's weekend, you're retired now. Who needs it? But yes, Paul Mullen, legend, hope he's well. And there we go. Takes his place next to Fowler himself. Probably played with Fowler. Kept Fowler out of the team. There we go, there are our classic players for this week. Okay then, so it's time for our new segment,
Graham Branch Fact of the Week. It's the Graham Branch Fact of the Week.
Graham Branch has played for more English clubs than Pelé, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo combined.
Graham Branch Fact of the Week. It's the Graham Branch Fact of the Week.
excellent then. Like, let's quickly rattle through these classic games then. Like I said, not classic games, themed remembered games, I think we'll start called. We need to think of a catchier title than themed remembered games. But this week, because we're playing Plymouth, we've gone for long, memorable long trips. Do you want me to do the honours with this one?
You can indeed.
Rightio. So, I went for a trip that I've made a couple of times with my granddad, my uncle, and a few of my granddad's mates, people like Sean Fenton, Wayne Doxey, people like that. But the game that I chose was Torquay United versus Accrington Stanley, February 23rd, 2014. This was a game that we went down for the weekend. So on the Friday morning, went for a... The Crown was shut, but he will made us a full English. So there were seven of us in the Crown Friday morning. Full English, minibus down to Torquay and spend the weekend there. Go to the game on the Saturday and come home Sunday morning. Two nights on the lash. Halcyon days. I was too young to ever go with the lads. Never went on a big lads one. So I've only ever been on the... With a few gentlemen that are a little bit older, but nonetheless, still a good time with people like Sean Fenton. If you've ever had a pint with Sean, he's a ridiculous laugh. But yeah, so we went down. The game itself, so it's 2014. We're at this time. James Beattie's the manager. We are still fighting relegation. And Torquay are absolutely down there as well. Torquay ended up finishing this season absolutely last. Fell out of the Football League and they haven't come back since. They look this year like they may just be coming back into the Football League, and I hope they do, because they deserve to be in Football League with the history of the club. The team that day: Bettinelli, Hunt, Winard, Liddle, Aldred, Molyneux, Peter Murphy, Luke Joyce, Mingoya, Odigeyi, Bowerman, if you remember him, and then Cal Naismith comes off the bench to score the winner in the 80th minute. And if you look at the highlights of this game, like you say, it's two sides that are absolutely wrestling, trying to fight, trying to beat off relegation. We're approaching that time of the year where it's becoming shit or bust, really. Stanley is still getting dragged in there. We're languishing around 15th place, and we could easily get dragged into it if we lose games like this. If you watch the highlights, they're absolutely all over us, completely batter us. And then, like I say, we just score in the 80th minute. Poor defending by them. And if you ask a Torquay fan, they'd probably be fuming that game went against them. But, I mean, the reason that you do long trip wins is because it's just funnier. It's more the piss up, innit?
Absolutely.
Really?
I mean, there's a few calls last year with COVID sort of having big financial implications for a lot of clubs. The talk starts to rear its ugly head of regionalisation again, Division 3 North and South, and I generally couldn't think of anything worse. We played for sort of, you know, 40 odd years in regional leagues. We've earned the right to play in national leagues, and those trips are the best crack.
Yeah,
10 of you at Charlton or Portsmouth or Torquay, as you say, that's the pinnacle.
Incredible, yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I made that trip again after Torquay got relegated that year. I've been down there twice again, and we just used to stay in Torquay and then get the train to Exeter. So the Torquay weekend had continued just with the absence of Torquay United. But Torquay, if anyone's ever been, if anyone's ever not been, it's a great place, isn't it?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A top notch place. When the sun is out, it is beautiful. The bars are amazing. There's like clubs out at night. Obviously, it's a small seaside town, but it is fantastic. I'd recommend it to everyone, and hopefully one day we will play them again, or at least play Exeter, or indeed Plymouth, if the timing's right, where we could go and try that again. But yeah, so, like I say, Stanley ended up finishing 15th that year, the year with James Beattie as coach, and it'll just be remembered because, again, you know, I'm there with my granddad. My granddad doesn't go and watch Stanley anymore. He prefers watching like non-league football these days as he gets a bit older, which is fair enough, but just good memories being out with him. People like Sean Fenton will met Unite anywhere you are, and if you ever watch The Doctor trying to pick up women, 70 odd years old plus and still going strong is Sean. So yeah, that's my memorable long trip. Torquay United, 2014. I remember we were in the clubhouse after the game because there was an Accrington lad down there. I said lad, he was probably about 70. But an old mate of a few of the guys in the group, and he'd moved to Torquay when he was younger. So now he was a Torquay fan, but he was from Accrington. So we went in the clubhouse with him, and we ended up nearly getting kicked out just because we were home fans, and the clubhouse was absolutely dead. But yeah, little strange memories there. But yeah, Torquay United 2014, a place in my heart. And then the week after, I went to visit my ex-girlfriend because she was at uni down there. Not as fond of memory. But yes, Gibby, what have you got, mate, for your long trip?
Yes, I've gone with Portsmouth 2, Accrington Stanley 3, 13th of December 2014, which frankly, to say that's just over 6 years ago is obscene.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Portsmouth always had a certain novelty at first, you know, that they're a big club, weren't they? I mean, you're talking, that's 6 years after they won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
You know, they won the FA Cup in 2008, 6 years later, we're playing them in a league game. We took 84 hardy souls there.
I was not one of them, missed out that day.
14,000 home fans. And we turned them over 3-2.
2-0 up, weren't we, I remember?
We went 2-0 up. They pulled it back to 2-2. The ground, I mean, Portsmouth have a great atmosphere anyway.
Yeah,
it's one of the
noise.
It's one of the only grounds I've seen where all three of the home sides sing. So they'll start behind the goal with sort of the Blue Army chant, sort of like spreads around the ground.
It's proper old school, and it's they keep the song short and sweet, and it's thumping.
Yeah, it's
the
brilliant.
Whole ground
bouncing,
is just bumping.
And I've always thought that the city is a little slice of the north, but in the south.
Yeah.
Like, I got the train from Aki at 5:59, and the last leg I had to go from Southampton to Portsmouth, and the train goes right along the seafront, and you see all these yachts and marinas and stuff, and you pull into Portsmouth, which is a shithole, but I say that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Like a certain industrial beauty to it.
Yeah.
And it is like you've just taken sort of Burnley and just plonked it on the south coast. And they also have that siege mentality. It's the only English city on an island, so everybody on the island supports Portsmouth.
Yeah.
That's all they've got. And again, in a good way. And again, with sort of the military naval history as well, it adds to that siege mentality. But like you say, 2-0 up, beyond our wildest dreams. They pull it back to 2-2. It's absolutely rocking. 15,000 home fans. Every Stanley fan in the right mind, we're going to get dicked here. And then the lifeline comes, penalty, Luke Joyce, saved.
I was just going to say, we missed the pen, didn't we?
Missed a penalty for 3-2 again.
I remember Luke Joyce said that in his Raw Milk interview, that it was one. He was shitting himself taking that penalty, because he was just rolling footballer in front of
the
frat
end. Missing it, and then the loudest fuck, this ground's too big for you, over and over again. And then, lo and behold, the rattles, the you know, it's the Alamo, the sieging us really, and then we get a breakaway and a Piero slots it home 3-2. Absolute
great goal, wasn't it?
It was absolute bedlam for those 84. I was on the train from Southampton to Manchester that evening with Tom Aldred's dad, but I couldn't speak. I must sound like a right dickhead. I was really hoarse. Yeah, I couldn't talk. It was brilliant.
To be honest, mate, even if you do speak, you do sound like a bit.
That
dickhead.
Is true. dulcetmilnshirtones.com. But again, the thing with Pompey is it's one of those, when you go to any big club, so you rock up, go in the home pub, oh, little Aki, it's great you've come down, let me buy you a pint.
Pat on the head.
Buy you a pint, you dick 'em, tin pot, scum, trying to batter you, shouldn't be allowed in this division, 84 fans, disgrace, joke, la 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 la. But again,
la 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 la.
But that makes it sweeter, doesn't it?
It's absolutely.
And again, some great forgotten players here, actually. So Rob Atkinson scored the first goal.
Yeah, he was on the bench in my Torquay game.
And then John O'Sullivan added the second. He was a good player for us, wasn't he, initially?
Yeah,
John O'Sullivan.
Absolutely flying at Morecambe now as
And they equalised, penalty miss, and then Piero. But the team for that day was Rose in goal, Winard, the stalwart.
Rose,
yeah.
Who's that?
Lawn keeper.
I can't
remember
his recollection
name.
Of him.
I want to say Justin Rose, but I know that's a golfer, isn't it?
He's a golfer, yeah.
Which again added to why I was confused at him turning out that day. He had them funny golf pants on. It was weird.
Danny Rose? No.
He's the Spurs fullback, Danny Rose.
Exactly. He won't.
So you've got Rose in goal. We'll investigate that. You've got Winard, the stalwart, who's already in the fall on the Bougie Hall of Fame. Sir Thomas of Aldred.
Yes.
Rob Atkinson. Nicky Hunt came on to replace him. Michael Liddle,
Yes, Little.
Doing well with his supermarket chain now.
Often remembered.
Luke Joyce. It's a lazy gag, but it has to be made.
Yeah, it's very good.
Luke Joyce. Anthony Barry. Which I always forget that he came back. I just forget it completely. I remember Conference Anthony Barry. Carver came on for him. John O'Sullivan, who was replaced by McCartan. Sean Maguire, who we all thought was a bit ropey, but doing bits at Preston now.
Sean Maguire, yeah, he's gone on to be doing better things, and he honestly wasn't all.
No, he wasn't.
He was good, but he wasn't. You wouldn't think that he could play higher.
Mingoya, Sir Matthew of Crooks, and the subs not used: Simpson, Windass, Naismith, and Gray. And the referee was Keith Hill, not the former Bolton and Rochdale manager, I'm imagining.
I was going to say.
Attendance 14,1300, 84 away fans, up the fucking Reds.
That's magnificent, yeah. I've been to Pompey 3 times in total.
I don't think we've scored again since then. We got 1-1 draw once.
We drew 1-1 last year, didn't we? Yeah. Last day of the season, when it was like R5 kickoff.
Oh, yeah, that was a good game.
The 2 times that I've been, we went the first time and Harry Seed drove me, Will and Chris Norbury down in his car, and there was us four. Cammy was there, and I don't remember who else Cammy was with, but there was only 6 of us singing. Gary Roberts was in the team that day for them, and we drew 0-0, and we were really, really excited and really happy that we got a point. And before the game, obviously Will be, you're making a funny face, are you all right?
I'm just looking at the goalkeeper. It was Jack Rose.
I have no
recollection of that whatsoever.
No idea. Again, so Will, being the landlord at the Crown, had the number of Pompey John, the guy with the bell and the big hat, who texted him the day before and said, if you're coming down, come and meet us in the pub for a drink. So again, before the game, I remember we got in this taxi in Portsmouth. Got there about, we set off about 6. It was still dark outside. Harry was absolutely flooring it, got down there, and got there for about midday, so we had plenty of time for a drink. And they are a big club, and it's a hostile atmosphere at times, even when you're walking around. Like, we were in this pub before, and this guy recognised we were away fans, and we're being a bit funny. So Will ended up texting that Pompey John guy, and we ended up going and meeting him. And when we got in the taxi, Will said, I don't know what the pub was called, like the Rose and Crown or something. And he was like, can we go to the Rose and Crown, mate? And this taxi driver was just like, why are you going there?
It's your life, mate.
So we went there and they were fantastic with us. They bought us the pint after pint, food, sandwiches, loads of pictures, welcome lads. Went in the pub after the game. That Pompey John, he sat with that ridiculous hat, didn't he?
Yeah.
He sat at the table with the hat almost like leaning over, looking so sad. He'd been magnificent with us before the game. Went in. Will just said, you're right, mate. He's just like, fucking shit. Park the bus. Fucking shit. Fucking shit parking the bus like that. And I just remember Will saying to him, listen, not going to be the first team to come here this year and do that. Because it was like August.
Yeah.
And just like you said, just that click. I remember Yeovil had got beat off. Yeovil had got beat that day off someone. And I remember me talking and saying, they must be shit, Yeovil, because I think it might have been Morecambe beat him or something, other way around. And I was like, they must be shit, Yeovil, because Morecambe are shit. And this guy just turned around and went, watch what you're fucking saying, mate. Don't take the piss. Or something like that. And I was just like, what, are you a Yeovil fan? And he was like, oh, I thought you were talking about Pompey. Do you know, just wanting anything.
Wanting to go, yeah. I mean, were you there that time when we went to that pub, Staff Alive, whatever it's called? You're going to get fucking... We're going to fucking smash you today. Yeah, I think you will, mate.
I think that...
We're going to lever you. Yeah, I think you win about 4-0, mate. Mm. Shit. They're looking, aren't they? Not just Pompey, but
that's
a lot
it.
Of other opposition
so
fans.
I said
they're looking for that spark, aren't they?
The guy who was in the pub before, when I said he was being a bit funny, we were playing pool with Chris Norbury, who's a professional snooker player.
Yeah.
So there were a few... These people had took notice of us. I remember the guy realising that we were away fans, and he was saying, long way to come to get fucking dick, boys, isn't it? And again, I remember Harry C just going, yeah, I think you'll beat us 4-0 probably. And you're like, yeah, fucking long way to come for a shit team. Yeah, yeah, mate, I think you will beat us, yeah.
Takes a sting right out, doesn't it?
And he's looking at us and he's still going though, still plugging. Yeah, long way to come. Yeah, all right. And just goes with his tail between his legs. Yeah. But yeah, Good memories there. I remember we got beat 2-0 there once as well, because a mate of mine lived down there for a while, and they were happy as Larry then, because they'd won easy. I think that was when Cookie was there and Liam. But
So
what date is that then?
That was the 13th of December 2014, just over 6 years ago.
2014, what a young man I was then. All to go back to those days.
Halcyon,
I think we better
days.
Go and watch Stanley, shall we?
Alright.
We'll wrap it up there then, short and sweet, mate. Thank you for giving your time to the podcast once more.
It's alright.
And up the Reds.
Up the Reds, industry and prudence conquer. Look at me, I am Mr. Powder.
Powder, Mr. Powder. Thank you for tuning in to Raw Milk. Our theme music is Mr. Powder by Deja Vega. Our producer is Scott Bolton. Follow us at Raw Milk Zine on Twitter and Instagram, and Raw Milk Fanzine on Facebook. You can also download, subscribe, and like all of our podcasts at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Up the Reds! Podcast Network.